If you could pick one word to describe yourself, what would it be? Raven, they did a poll to find out what is the one word that people use to describe themselves, which I think is hard because if you could only one word, right?
Sure. Well, I mean, if you're proud of yourself, right, you'd probably have dozens of those things.
Okay. Top three words. Number three, careful.
Okay.
Number two, thoughtful.
That's nice.
And the number one word people use to describe themselves, with 67% of people responding, is friendly.
Okay.
Huh.
I think they're lying.
Right.
Or at least a good percentage of them.
All right. All right. Producer John and producer Sean are here. John, if you could use one word to describe yourself, and then we'll tell you if it's true or not.
Okay. For myself, I would say outgoing.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say that that's all right. You can have that one.
Right. That was actually one of my on my short list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But well, you can't take it back from him now. He can have that word and you can also have that word, just so you know.
That's not how it works here. Only one of us could have the word. Outgoing. What makes you outgoing?
I talk to people. I like to talk to people. I can talk to any kind of person.
I mean, you're a musician, you're a performer, only in music but in radio. I would say that makes him pretty outgoing.
All right. Sean, what would be the one word that describes you?
Oh, that's easy. Weird.
Weird.
Yeah, dude. Yes. Yeah.
John agrees. He's like, yeah.
Well, they work together.
He's with me for like 10 hours a day in that studio.
Weird or a weirdo?
Weird. Not a weirdo.
Mm-hmm. Weird.
Just weird.
Well, I actually say to Hayden, my 12-year-old, all the time, you never want to be normal. You always want to be a little bit weird.
I like that distinction, though. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, because a weird is like you're different and you're unique, which is a good thing. A weirdo is like somebody that all of a sudden is looking in your window at night.
Yeah.
You know?
Spent a lot of time in chat rooms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Dark.
46 years old, still in the basement, mom's house, plays Super Mario Brothers every night, has his girlfriends over. Now, I could really describe the weirdo.
I'm ready for yours. What's your word?
I would say it's a toss-up between...
You can't have more than one.
Oh,
I mean,
go.
You set the rules. You can't break them.
Motivated.
Motivate's good.
Yeah, I feel like I'm always like, I like to have a mental checklist, and I like to get done with my checklist every day. So I'm motivated to just like, let me get through the day. Like when I wake up in the morning and I open my eyes when the alarm goes off at 3:40, the first thing I say to myself every day is, the sooner you get up, the sooner you'll finish. Every single day.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
And what do I say? I come in here and I start doing work. I go... What's next? You know? So I'm motivated to like get through everything on the day.
You do that.
Yeah.
You can have motivated then.
All right. And what are you, Raven?
I'm going to go with resilient because every time you think I'm dead, every time you think I'm buried or gone, I come back.
Okay.
I come back like a fungus, stronger than ever.
Okay.
Could have gone with Phoenix, went with fungus. That
was
good.
No. It's all right. It's all the same.
I like that you think of yourself as like a mushroom.
I can't be killed. I'll be here after the apocalypse.
Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why? Well, gas. It's all about gas. Now, all eyes are on President Biden as he decides whether to temporarily lower gas prices by 18 cents a gallon. An announcement is expected by the 4th of July. Now, as usual, Raven, it's like the back and forth, like, you know, one side wants it, one side doesn't
want
it.
This is just all such nonsense, man. 18 cents that they're going to give you off for a couple months. I mean, seriously, this is not a solution.
Well, 73% of Americans are planning to travel this summer, and they plan to drive more than 50 miles from their home. So that's because of the inflation and the prices going up for airlines and for gas. So vacations are going to go up about $300 from, on average, $2,400 to $2,700. And I was thinking about this because we take a big 4th of July trip every single year. We drive about 13 hours.
Sure.
So I would like for you to imagine what it was like for me trying to figure out how much gas was going to be to get from my house.
Math being such your strong suit.
Right. I'm like, if it's $5
work with your calculator.
A gallon. And in a gallon.
It's like you're doing SAT word problems.
My car gets about 21 gallons per mile.
Oh, stop it. Stop.
So that means... I said to my husband, I think it's going to cost us $1,500 to drive. He's like, stop. No,
there's
it's
smoke
not.
Coming out of your ears.
Oh, my
Look
God.
At you.
The average person has no idea what's going on. No idea. Oh, that was that.
Oh, thank you for that.
But I was interested because we always talk about how high our gas prices are. And right now we're down a couple cents. It's like down from $5 a gallon
That's
to
nothing.
$4.98. Whatever, nonsense.
Again, yeah.
But gas prices around the world. Like, I don't know if I'm being naive here, but I used to always think that everybody's gas prices were exactly the same as ours.
No, that's very naive. Yep. They have to be, you know, they have to travel to different distances. They come from different sources. They're refined in different areas. And, you know, everybody has different taxes.
Guess how much gas costs in Canada?
Okay, are we doing liters? We're not doing liters, gallons. It doesn't matter because everybody else is liters.
This is price per gallon in U.S. dollars.
Okay, right.
So it made it very easy compared to ours.
I'm going to guess in Canada it's probably somewhere like, gosh, $3? $3.
$6.49
a gallon. That's crazy. They have so much oil in Canada.
No.
They have so much oil.
I was shocked by this. Guess how much, well, I guess this shouldn't come as a huge surprise. Guess how much gas costs in Russia?
Remember,
this is U.S. dollars per gallon.
Yeah, I'm going to say $4.50.
$3.03, because they have all of it.
Because they have it.
Right, exactly.
They have it, right.
Qatar is only $2.18.
I mean, I think that if you go in your backyard and you just bring a shovel, you get gasoline. I'm pretty sure that's the way it works over there.
But this would have made me feel sad. Okay. Mm-hmm. Belgium?
Yeah.
$8.10.
Yeah, yeah.
Sweden? $9.05. Denmark? $10.02.
That's why everybody takes a kayak or skis everywhere they go in those places.
Aren't all those people supposed to be really, really nice? Like, if you're from Denmark, you live in the happiest place in the world. Like, do they never fill up gas ever?
I'm guessing they're pretty nice because they probably use, like, I don't know, skateboards and bikes to get everywhere that they're going?
I guess so.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's that thing that drives you crazy? 1-800-330-9999. This is your chance to get it all off your chest. You just have to fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you.
If you bring a couch to the beach, that's all I need to know about you.
Wait, I saw
a bunch of teenagers do that the other day. It was crazy.
Wait a minute. They dragged a couch to the beach?
Mm-hmm. Out of a pickup truck. A bunch of them just dragged it out there. I couldn't believe it.
That's either a drunken pickup from the night before, right? You're driving down there, like, all right, here we go. We're getting this couch. Or it's like dad was like, you need to take this to the dump. I've been asking you for a week. It's outside. And they're like, yeah, we're going to do that. You put it in the back of the truck and you're like, you know what? Let's take it to the beach first.
Mm-hmm. It's nostalgic for me because the townhouses where I used to live at college, every Friday, we'd all take our couches out and put them right in our front yards. Ah. And we'd call it, it's couch day at the townhouses. And we would all just hang out on the couches outside. I loved those days. They were the best. Why don't we have couches in more places? Mm. Like, shouldn't we normalize couches in public places?
But you know what? Let's just send you out with a group of teenage boys that are into carrying around these types of things.
I guess so.
Ann Raven, that's all I need to know about you.
Hi. Yeah. If you flush your teeth in traffic, that's all I need to know about you, because I am actually looking at a guy right now flossing his teeth sitting next to me in traffic.
Disgusting.
You know what I'm always weirded out by? When you're walking somewhere and you see like the portable floss thing, mm-hmm, and the pick, and I'm like, who is carrying that here on a trail or in a parking lot? It's so strange. Are you just carrying these things all the time? Like, I get it. Dental hygiene. It's cool that you're obsessed about it. It's cool that you're into it. Good for you and your teeth. But come on. This is weird.
Those picks are everywhere. But you know what I've been noticing that I've been doing lately, which is even more disgusting? I've stopped concealing the fact that I use my nails to pick food out of my teeth. I used to only do it in private when nobody could see me, but now I've been doing it more and more in public. Isn't that disgusting? But like, I have like the spot in the back of my teeth where things get stuck all the time,
yeah,
and I never have floss with me. So I just use the corner of my nail, and I realize I do it in front of people, and like, but I don't even know what they must think of me, and I can't stop it. I'm going to do it right now. I have grape there, right here.
Oh, stop it.
It's stuck. That's, you see it?
I mean, just find one of those floss things.
On the floor?
Yeah.
See, look, I got it. It's Hannah and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
If you have to hide food from me in my own house, that's all I need to know about you. So I just found out that my boyfriend keeps a stash of secret potato chips in the bedside drawer, just all to himself. Doesn't want me to know about it. It's so weird, right?
It is weird. It's weird because it's in the nightstand.
Well, when it comes to chips and stuff like that, if it's on top of the fridge or whatever, it's like you have to confess every time you have some chips. Because as soon as that bag is open, everybody knows about it. And now we're watching the chips. We're waiting to see how many days does it take them to go through the chips. Or how many days until the bag of chips disappears. Don't act like you're not paying attention to that stuff.
In my house, it's the Oreos because my husband eats all the Oreos, and he won't admit to me they're finished. Because then I'll know it took you 4 days to eat an entire package of Oreos.
It took you 4 hours.
Yeah,
maybe.
Exactly. But the problem is I'm the only one that goes grocery shopping, because then he has the conundrum where if he doesn't tell me, they're never going to be replaced.
Right.
But he also doesn't want to deal with my judgment.
There's a lot of trouble here with this.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not going to say he's evil. I'm going to say he's busted. I'm with you on that.
I would eat every one of those Doritos if I found them at his nightstand. Every single one.
Right.
1-800-330-9999. What's that thing that drives you nuts? Just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Do you think you could be a lifeguard if they paid you enough? 1/3 of pools this summer are dealing with the lifeguard shortage. But nevertheless, people were outraged when they found out that some Los Angeles lifeguards were being paid between, wait for it, $300,000 and $510,283 a year.
It's amazing what overtime can do for a city or a state employee, right? It is. I remember growing up at the pool at my condo complex, Anna. Mm-hmm. That person wasn't a lifeguard. They had the lifeguard signs up that said, you know, no lifeguard really on duty, swim at your own risk. That person checked passes.
That's what you think. It's not easy to be a lifeguard. Because
I don't think it is.
No, I heard this and I was like, maybe I can be a lifeguard, like part-time in the summer.
Maybe 20 years ago.
Some extra money. No, I've never been a good swimmer. And then I was looking at, like, what are the requirements to actually become a lifeguard? And it's no joke. You have to swim 300 yards. I'm not even sure. I think that's 3 football fields. That seems really, really far.
It's a little over 900 feet.
You have to hold your breath for 1 to 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely can't do that. I don't even like when the shower hits me in the face. I have a hard time when that happens. And then dive 7 to 10 feet. I can't blow bubbles out of my nose. Can you?
Is that a requirement? Did you see blow bubbles out of your nose?
No, I feel like all real swimmers know how to.
It's just exhaling.
But Raven has a pool. And mm-hmm. the one thing that I thought was really interesting is that you have to tread water for a minimum of 2 minutes. So we asked Raven yesterday to jump in the pool and to see if he could do it.
Okay. Everybody knows there's only one way to get in a pool, and that is to jump in said pool.
Listen to that dive. I mean, it sounds like I'm a lifeguard, right?
Do you belly flop in? What do you do to get into your pool?
I dive.
Really?
Did you hear that dive? That dive sounded fantastic.
All right. So you start treading water, and here's what happens.
All right. Let's start treading water. That's amazing how quick you just want to grab the side because it's there.
Now, I hear all that noise there, Raven. Mm. And here's what I know that you don't know.
What's up?
Real lifeguards have to keep their hands in their armpits when they're treading water. Using your arms.
Yeah, I was always taught that you use your arms and your legs to tread water, and that helps to make it less strenuous. So that would make the two-minute thing make more sense if they can't use their arms.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Fingers in armpits.
A lot harder than I remember.
And you're using your arms.
Yeah.
You just want to grab the side. Because it's there, and you know you can't. I almost feel like I'd be better off swimming.
Well, of course you'd be better off swimming. But if you're in the middle of the ocean, you got to save somebody's life.
Well, right. I think you're supposed to save your life and your energy, too, with that. But okay.
Now you're getting all panty. This is your...
It's a little bit tired.
Right, exhausting. And then you continue.
This part of the experiment where you want to grab hold of, like, the sinking boat or something. I don't know, however long that is. That's going to be it.
And now your wife, Alicia, was timing this the whole time, and she makes the announcement.
4 minutes and 17.
You are definitely using your arms.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to use the arms.
Do you think if you did it without your arms, you'd be able to do it for half as long?
I don't know. You know, I knew that the entire process was frustrating for me because it's just funny psychologically how once you get in the water, you immediately want to grab the edge because it's there.
I'm going to try today. I'm going to do it with my hands in my armpits, being a terrible, terrible, terrible swimmer, and we'll see how I do.
I'm not going to shake your hand tomorrow, I can tell you that.
So you've been with your partner for a long time. You're ready to get married, but they're just dragging their feet. Every weekend, you're getting your nails done, and it never happens. Is it okay to give them an ultimatum?
Mm.
Dr. Patrick Juanis is a behavior expert, relationship expert. You can find him online at patrickjuanis.com. What do you think? You think it's all right to do this?
generally ultimatums don't work, and it's usually the woman giving the ultimatum to the man. And you gave a great example there where often it's, hey, we've been together for 4 years, I want to get married. The problem is that men are highly resistant to change. They don't like to be told what to do. They don't like to change, and they definitely don't want to feel like they're controlled. There are times that you do want to use an ultimatum, and that's when your personal well-being or the well-being of your family or children is in jeopardy. What I think is better is when you begin the relationship, you issue the ultimatum in the sense that you've started dating and you let the person know right up front, this is what I want. I want a family. I want 2 children. I don't want children. I want to get married. I don't want to get married. And get the commitment from them there and then, because you'll know up front what they really want.
Doctor, you and I both know that oftentimes we as human beings, we think that we can change people, right? But, I mean, if you tell people right up front, that's your disclaimer. You don't have to feel bad if it doesn't work out down the line, right?
My concern with that is, like, are you scaring somebody off by doing that?
Well,
yes, you are, but you want to scare off the people that aren't compatible.
Right.
You want to scare off the people that don't share the same values. It's okay to scare away people that you know aren't compatible or whose values don't match yours.
Do you think that there's some kind of people that respond well to ultimatums? Because I feel like if I didn't give my husband an ultimatum, we've been married 17 years, he would still be waiting for the right time where we were financially stable and that we could do it and blah, blah, blah. Like, there was always an excuse until I said, listen, we're either going to get married or we're not. You have to make a decision. And then, you know, happily ever after, I guess. But I also think that plays into his personality.
Well, you've just answered the question, for you it worked. It doesn't necessarily work for everyone. What it means is your husband actually wanted to get married. If he didn't, giving him the ultimatum would have been meaningless.
That's what I see, too, right? Is if you force somebody to a decision, if they actually take it into account, they'll do it. I think that the problem lies in the fact that half the people that are out there, they'll say whatever the other one needs to hear at that moment to please them. They're not actually true to themselves. Therefore, they're just kicking the problem down the road, right? Mm-hmm. Kicking the can on down the line.
Yes. Another example is a client of mine who did exactly that. He went along with his girlfriend who said she wants children, she wants children. Then when it came down to the actual moment, 1 or 2 years later, he said, no, I don't. And then they had to break up. And I said, it's because you weren't honest with her. You should have said openly, you don't want children, and stick to it.
And now she's happily married with 3 to his best friend.
She's now with someone else, correct. Sometimes an ultimatum can be beneficial, because if the person is forced into it and then says, no, I don't want to get married, I don't want children, and they go and do with someone else, that means they didn't want to do with you, so it wasn't going to work out. The other thing that I think is highly beneficial is ask for what you need during the relationships. You can say, here is what I need. I need for us to have a commitment. I need security, or I need marriage. It's better to ask for what you need and look for the right response rather than pushing someone into a corner and then they might just rebel and you miss out.
Dr. Patrick Juanes, you can find him online at patrickjuanes.com.
Do you remember a character that you saw as a kid and it just haunted you? A Sesame Street episode from 1976 that was lost has made its way online. Now, it was removed for being too scary for kids because it included the Wicked Witch of the West from The Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
This is what it sounded like.
Let me have it!
You can't have the broom until you show me a little respect.
Oh, yes, I can!
No, you can't! Oh, I forgot. I can't so much as lay a finger on that broom as long as somebody else is holding on to it.
I was watching the clip online. It is terrifying. It's like the full green Wicked Witch of the West. And I'm like, if you are a child watching Sesame Street with Big Bird and Elmo, this is shocking. No wonder why it's been lost for decades at this point.
That was the character. I mean, I guess a little bit of editing is, you know, all that comes through on these movies. It makes the difference between something terrifying for you at that time or whatever. But I mean, I'm sure it's going to come out on some golden edition at this point now.
Yeah, but I was watching it and I was thinking to myself, no wonder why they buried this. Like, it was really scary. But I think that there's some characters that you see as a kid that even if they're not supposed to be scary, they freak you out and it stays with you. Hi, what's the character that haunted you?
Well, when I was a kid, I used to watch Sleeping Beauty. And Maleficent would always stick out to me every time the scene where her eyes would stay at the end and everything else would go black. And I would picture that she was in the closet.
Yeah. Whenever they would show, like, cats in a dark space or anything like that where all you would see was eyes and then teeth, That's spooky.
That's the thing about Disney. They make something so haunting that like it stays with you, but you don't realize like it's kids, it's fun.
You know what's scarier than both of those things? Seeing actual eyes in the dark. That would be the most terrifying, right?
I was thinking about it because this week is the 40th anniversary of E.T. coming out, and it's been all over the news, and it brought it all back because I was terrified of E.T.
E.T. Phone home.
They made it out. It's so adorable. It's so cute. I used to have nightmares about E.T. when I was a kid.
Was it his strange?
Have you seen E.T.?
Are you kidding me?
Scary
alien. I love E.T.
Oh my god!
Based my life on that.
With his creepy finger coming at your face, like you.
When he turns white when he's dying, that's pretty creepy.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, I was always scared of Willy Wonka. Essentially, everything that was in Willy Wonka was pretty terrifying to me, but specifically, the kid who jumped into the chocolate river and then got stuck in the thing, that scared me. And then the, Violet, the blueberry girl, she terrified me.
Dessert, here it comes. Blueberry pie and cream. It's the most marvelous blueberry pie I've ever tasted.
Holy Toledo, what's happening to your face? Violet, you're turning violet, Violet. Mm-hmm.
The whole thing drew me nuts because, number one, I disliked her. Mm-hmm. Number two, I disliked her father. And then number three, I was like, you know, at the same time, I didn't feel like it was cool for me to be the emperor to pass judgment on her not to make it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, isn't anybody going to help her when I'm watching it? It's that terrible feeling of, wait, they're going to roll her out and juice her? What are you talking about?
Oompa Loompas, too. Like, that's
creepy,
with
but,
me.
But cool and really convenient. Like, if you've got to move tables into place or, like, you wanted somebody to carry the keg down to the backyard or anything like that, they're cool for that.
They were efficient.
Yeah.
Their character, a character that you remember as a kid that, it just freaked you out. Who was it? What was it? 1-800-330-9999.
Oh, I forgot. I can't so much as lay a finger on that room as long as somebody else is holding on to it.
That is a clip from the most terrifying episode of Sesame Street ever. 1976. It's when it featured the Wicked Witch of the West from The Wizard of Oz. Kids were so scared that they buried that episode. It was never to be replayed, and somebody just found it on a Reddit thread.
How'd you like to be part of the research group with the kids where they've got to first be exposed to this stuff, right? It's like a roller coaster that they're not sure whether or not it's actually passed all the safety checks. They're just like, let's give it a shot.
There's some characters that you saw as a kid that they just stick with you because they were terrifying. They haunted you.
Yeah, you know what I want to. You want to know what scared me as a kid, Anna?
Yes, producer Sean.
The leprechaun from the leprechaun horror movies. I felt like Garth from Wayne's World anytime someone mentioned his name.
I'm a leprechaun, me dear.
Here, this is what you're looking for, right?
The powers are returning.
Do you know it's Jennifer Aniston in that movie?
Yeah, did she show him gold or did she show him her fantastic figure that has never changed? Jennifer Aniston, wow! When you see Jennifer Aniston young, you say to yourself, she looks exactly the same.
She was the gold.
Oh my gosh.
I have no words for this conversation.
She really was.
Right, I don't know.
Woo, Jennifer Aniston, you're doing a heck of a job.
Tana and Raven, what's the character that haunts you?
Oh my God, do you remember the guy from Sesame Street who played the piano and he'd get really mad when he hit the wrong note and he'd bang his head against the piano keys?
I don't remember the guy's name, but I do remember it vaguely. And it was his anger that would scare you.
Yeah, he would send me out of the room crying. It was terrible.
Oh my God, right. Yeah, you know, it's scary when somebody gets mad.
Sesame Street got dark for a while, right?
They were covering real subject matter.
Yeah, thank you.
What was the character that scared you the most?
The clown from Poltergeist. I saw it way too young. It terrified me for the rest of my life.
Oh, I mean, that scared everybody. And it was designed to scare us. But that movie is brilliant. That's the thing is, when people see that edited on television, it's still remotely scary. But when you see Poltergeist unedited, the original... Like, that sticks with you. I don't care if you're 40 or 4, man. That sticks with you.
Floating right at you. I still think about it.
The tree. The tree? Oh, my God. It tries to eat the tree. Kid.
Tin on Raven, you had a problem with witches?
The three witches?
The three witches in what? So...
I think it was, what movie was that in the 90s? It was,
Are you going to say Clash of the Titans?
No.
Because I got to tell you, the witches in Clash of the Titans scared the heck out of me. And I'm not talking about, like, the new Clash of the Titans where it's all CGI. I'm talking about Harry Hamlin, tanned and oily. And, whoa, the witches in that movie terrified me.
I hope that you're talking about Hocus Pocus, because that's funny, because they're lovable.
Hocus Pocus. That was the one. That was the one. Hocus Pocus.
All right.
It was definitely Hocus Pocus.
All right. Well, if you go home and you see a sweaty Harry Hamlin on your television, brace yourself for a scary scene with three witches in that movie as well.
Oh, it's so funny that Bette Midler scared you, right? It's so funny. Don't be alarmed. Hocus Pocus 2 is coming out this Halloween season.
Brace yourself, sir.
Yes. Have you ever thought it was annoying to sleep next to somebody in bed? Well, good news. It doesn't matter, because having a partner in bed makes you sleep better. Except if they're your kids.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yep. See, you've been doing it all wrong.
It says that people who let their kids sleep in bed with them sleep worse. They have more stress overall. But the benefits of sleeping with somebody else include less insomnia, more minutes spent sleeping, and we fall asleep faster. So decided to ask our spouses, what is it like sleeping with us? We asked Raven's wife, Alicia.
Sometimes it's peaceful. A lot of times it's not. You snore terribly. You know this new thing where you like to be all the way on the edge of your pillow, up against the edge of my pillow, so I like can't even roll over, or you're like mouth breathing in my face.
Oh, your mouth breathing in her face, that's nasty.
Ever since I busted those ribs on that side, I can't lay on that side anymore, so now I have to face her. She thinks it's about a loving thing. It's not. It's about busted ribs.
You know what my husband calls it?
Yeah.
The dragon breath. He calls the bed, like the bed breath, the dragon breath. He's like, here comes dragon breath. I can smell it a mile away.
Wow, a mile away, really?
Yeah.
What's it like sleeping in bed with me?
Depends. Sometimes you're a pain to sleep next to. Other times, you don't bother me.
What do you mean?
Well, if you're having dreams, you tend to, like, climb on top of me and, like, kick me and scratch me and hit me.
Do I?
Sometimes it's not bad. Like, but when you have bad dreams, you tend to, like, start kicking and scratching. And or snoring, it keeps me up.
How about the times when it is good to sleep next to me? What happens then?
Yes, it is nice sometimes to sleep next to you.
I feel like I just curl up in a ball and I'm in a corner. I never even come near you.
Yeah, those are just sometimes when it's nice to sleep next to you.
And what do you think about the situation of sleeping with Dakota?
It's a nightmare.
Do you feel that you sleep worse with Dakota in bed with us? Better or none of the above?
Worse. She literally climbs on top of me and has to like prop herself up on top of my head. And she's even worse with her dreams, where she literally will scratch, kick, and end up sideways, perpendicular to us.
What is up with toddlers? Dakota is my 3-year-old. What is up with toddlers sleeping? Like, you put
them next
to you.
She learned it from you.
But then she's like upside down. I wake up and her foot is in my mouth. And we sleep in a queen size bed. We don't have a big bed. So it's the three of us in a queen size bed, and she will not leave us.
I mean, where would you expect the bodies to go? Perpendicular, upside down, whatever. It doesn't matter. She's not a Labrador.
Oh.
I mean, there's not supposed to be three people on a queen bed.
Why do you sleep with Mommy and Daddy, Dakota?
Because I'm too scared to sleep.
Why can't you sleep in your own bed by yourself?
Because I wake up and yell.
Yes, you wake up and you yell. Why do you wake up and yell?
And tell somebody to come to my bed and cuddle.
And then you want somebody to come to your bed and cuddle.
Yeah.
And when are you going to be a big girl and you're going to sleep by yourself?
I don't know.
Never. So she screams like a maniac in the middle of the night if we try to put her back in her bed, which involves one of us going to get her. But then she plays the sweet, I just want to cuddle. How do you say that, her cute, adorable little face? But you know who's not happy about it? Paul. He's not happy about it.
You know, sometime he's going to get sleep. It's just going to be 15 or 20 years from now.
Well, she doesn't know when. She doesn't know.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's really easy. You just decide who's right. Dylan and Jenna. Jenna, let's start with you. What's going on?
Hey, you guys. Our son, he's 3 years old. And my husband wants him to get his first haircut. And I do not. And he's starting preschool this summer. So that's that's our little situation. I like putting it up in a boy bun, and my husband doesn't really care for it. I love brushing his hair. I love it. I love his hair.
Dylan, why are you so adamant that your son cuts his hair?
Well, it's a couple of reasons. He's growing up. He is 3 now. I've enjoyed having a little it run around the house and everything, but I'm just concerned about when he gets, to school and kids making fun of him. Parents that we're already hanging out with for play dates, they're already saying stuff like, "Oh, look at your little girl. What's her name?" Thinking of the future of what he's going to, anticipate with adults in school and children in school.
Well, let me ask the obvious question, which seems kind of the question of today. How does your little boy feel about it? I mean, how does your son feel about it, right? Because, if your son likes his hair, this is the thing, right? We're not supposed to necessarily tell our kids how to steer these certain things. On the other hand, when I see a grown man with a man bun, I immediately have distaste for him.
I like the idea of a boy bun, though, like a little boy bun. I don't know. You can answer this however you want, Mom, but looking at my daughter, who's 2.5, I don't think she knows any different.
Right.
Cares
one way or the other.
Yeah.
Right. So
what do you think, Jenna?
Right. I agree. And I think that, I have to disagree with man buns are, they annoy you or whatever. I actually think at that point you're an adult. You can make a bad decision yourself. So, you made that decision. As a kid,
but
you're right. You don't know what's going on.
Yeah, but you're setting him up for that as a child. And I think that it's important for our son to love his hair. And he loves his long hair. He doesn't really know the difference.
Well, does he love his hair or is he terrified of getting that haircut? Because I know that the first time, for kids, some kids, haircuts is like traumatizing. It's terrifying.
So, Dakota won't even let me touch her hair.
Right.
That's why it looks like a wild mess.
Does he
all the time.
Love it or is he fearful of the actual process?
Well, I guess really what comes down to is, do you cut his hair? And Dad says absolutely and Mom says no. So what do you think?
1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Dylan and Jenna's 3-year-old son has never had a haircut. Mama loves putting his hair up in a man bun or a boy bun, I guess we should call it. Her husband, Dylan, says before he gets ready to go to preschool in the next month or two, you need to cut his hair. She's not into it, not at all.
Again, she loves his hair, but Dylan thinks that there's a possibility that he could get picked on when he gets to school or whatever, because the hair is really long at this point. I mean, either way, the kid hasn't had a haircut yet at this point, so how does he know what he likes?
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna on Raven's Couples Court.
I'm on the mom's side. I'm a preschool teacher, and this is an opportunity for teaching children about diversity and acceptance, not to run away from children making fun. And honestly, most kids won't notice the difference at this age.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court. Dylan and Jenna have a 3-year-old son who has never had a haircut. And Mom loves it. Loves his long hair. Puts it up in a boy bun. It's like a man bun, but it's for 3-year-old boys.
Short people, yeah.
So Dylan says, listen, this has been fun, but you need to cut the baby's hair before he starts preschool. He's going to get made fun of. She's not on board.
Yeah, Dylan just thinks that it's let him go in prepared at least to deal with how the other boys are dealing with it. I mean, I guess it's not really necessarily a choice for me at this point. I would just think clean and easy in the morning, right? Somewhere that he's got to go. Without the kid having ever done it before, he doesn't know if he has a preference.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's a Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
I am on the husband's side. The mother put out one clue that she doesn't, it's not about the son. It's like she likes brushing his hair.
Right.
You like brushing his hair. It has nothing to do with that he likes it. And as she's brushing his hair, she probably says, "Oh, I love your hair so much." He's afraid that he might hurt her.
Right. I mean, it's possible.
He says he doesn't like his hair.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's all he knows, too, right? He might be fine with the hair, but he's never had a haircut. So it's all he knows. He might get that haircut and be like, "I'm free."
Exactly.
I'm free.
I think we're giving this 3-year-old a lot of credit.
This feels really good. So let him try it first. And if he's like, "Oh, I hate it," then she can always let it grow back.
So the baby's 3. He doesn't know what's happening. Trust me. And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm with the dad today. I think it's important that the boy gets to see what his hair looks like short. He's never seen it short. He probably only knows it as long, so it's hard to give a judgment that he loves his long hair when he's never had short hair. So I think it's great to give him those options, and I feel like kind of how the mom says the dad sets him up to not like his hair, where mom's not really giving him an option to love short hair. So I think you cut it.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the dad's side. They should cut the hair. Because he doesn't know. He's only 3 years old. And I think the dad's right. He's going to preschool, and kids are going to make fun of him.
I'm not sure if I'm concerned at all about the bullying. I just don't want to get it caught in anything. He's going to be going into a new place. Maybe he gets it in a door jam or something. You don't know, Anna.
No, I think all the bigger concern that dad has is that he's going to get bullied. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it's concerned about.
Maybe he's walking by and he gets it caught in a blender or something. You don't know. Well, danger's everywhere.
Okay.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Dylan, our audience agreed with you. Jenna, why do you want to set him up for getting made fun of? He's already going to be starting school. It's a big deal. If Dylan feels so adamantly about this, let his hair be short. He can grow it out when he gets older and make his own decisions.
I don't know if I agree with that, but I don't know. We're going to ask our son.
Here's a scenario for you, Jenna. I think maybe you cut his hair once because he's never had a haircut before, right? And there's probably some fear of going to the barbershop. But how about you cut his hair once and then tell him that, you know, he can make up his own mind after this? Then you're okay with that. That way he's at least got the information.
I mean, perhaps maybe we can go in for a trim first.
There you go.
So we can get him used to it.
And Dylan, you're cool with that?
Yeah, I think that, like I said, I think it's time for him to get a haircut, and maybe he likes it short.
This is true. It
sounds good to me.
All right, if you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven Cash jackpot is $100 thanks to Discover Card. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. Allison, you are up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Allison.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, Raven is walking out of here. When that big studio door closes, he won't be able to hear us. This is a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yep.
$100 on the line. Number one, Justin Bieber postponed the rest of his U.S. tour dates while he struggles with his health and heals. According to his hit song Peaches, he gets his peaches down in where?
Georgia.
Number two, Jon Snow may return in a Game of Thrones sequel. How many Game of Thrones seasons were there?
4.
Number three, Kristen Bell may have unofficially leaked that Frozen 3 is being planned. What character does Kristen Bell voice?
Elsa.
Number four, Beyonce dropped a new single called Break My Soul that will be on her upcoming Renaissance album. It's a dance track. Beyonce gave a Golden Globes nominated performance for her role in what 2006 movie where she starred alongside Jennifer Hudson?
What was it? Oh, God, I know this.
That's okay. It's time. And number five, it's officially summer. Finish these opening lyrics to the song Summertime by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Summer, summer, summertime.
Time to sit back and unwind.
All right. Let me bring Raven back in. Wave.
Yo.
Allison got 2 out of 5.
Not too great, Allison. Let's see how I do. $100.
Oh.
Number one, Justin Bieber postponed the rest of his U.S. tour dates while he struggles with his health and heels. According to his hit song Peaches, he gets his peaches down in where?
Georgia, same place as everybody else.
Number two, Jon Snow may return in a Game of Thrones sequel. How many Game of Thrones seasons were there?
There was 8.
Yes. Number three, Kristen Bell may have unofficially leaked that Frozen 3 is being planned.
Oh, boy.
What character does Kristen Bell voice?
Doesn't she play Anna? Anna?
Anna, yes. Number four, Beyonce dropped a new single called Break My Soul, and it's going to be on her upcoming Renaissance album. It's a dance track. Beyonce gave a Golden Globes nominated performance for her role in what 2006 movie where she starred alongside Jennifer Hudson?
No, I don't know.
Dreamgirls.
Oh, yeah. Oh, ah!
What nonsense is coming out of your mouth right now?
Yeah. I should know that one.
And number five, it is officially summer. Finish these opening lyrics to the song Summertime by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Summer, summer, summertime.
Summer, summer, summertime. Time to sit back and rewind.
No.
No, sit back and unwind. Unwind.
You can't change your mind.
Oh, whatever. I won anyway.
It doesn't matter, right? I'm sorry, Allison. He beat you 3-2 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
All right. Thank you. I'm Allison, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $200 tomorrow.
Have you ever embarrassed yourself so badly in public that you had to go sit in your car and cry so no one could see you?
I want you to remember, okay? Mm-hmm. And I want you to tell people, who was the first person that told you not to worry about it? Who was the first person that told you to let it go? Let it go.
I did that. I embarrassed myself in front of 9,000 people, including two of our big bosses.
It's going to be fine.
It's over.
It's totally over. There's nothing that you can do about it. Nothing you can worry about it anymore or whatever. And the next time, nobody will be none the wiser.
Here's what happened. It's 10 days ago. I was hosting a concert. Now, it was a big concert at a big arena. And originally, I was only supposed to go on at 6 p.m. and introduce like the beginning bands. And I did that. But the band offered for me to come on right before they went on. Here's the problem.
It was very nice of them to do that.
Mm-hmm. It was 9:15. And it was a Friday night, and I was exhausted. But I was like, you don't turn that opportunity down, right? And I was like, listen, I'm a pro. I've been doing this for many, many years. I know what to do. I know what to say. I get up there. I'll just do my thing, be off the stage in 3 minutes, and great. It was a good exposure, right?
3 minutes, 30 seconds. Get up there. I mean, if you're doing it right, it's one and done, and you're gone.
They come to get me, and I leave my notes at my seat. And again, I'm a pro. I don't need my notes. Rookie mistake number one. Bring your notes, okay? I get backstage and I'm yawning, and my boss looks at me. He's like,
"Bad.
You all right? You all right?" I go, "I'm good. I'm tired. I had a really bad cold, but I got it all under control." I get on stage in front of 9,000 screaming people that are so excited for the headliner to go on the stage. I introduce the wrong station that I'm from.
Oh my God.
The wrong station, number one, okay? Throws me off. I go, "Oh my God, what's happening to me?" The second thing I had to do is I had to thank the nurses that were there. We had about 500 nurses or something like that that were there. And I wanted to thank the hospital that they had come from. I couldn't remember the hospital name. And I just kept making up hospital names. Southwest Health. Northwest Health. It's a west of health of north of Southwest.
Why would you do that?
Because I'm an idiot.
I mean, you didn't tell me that part when you told me, when I immediately told you it was going to be fine. You didn't tell me that you made up names.
I just couldn't. The words would just come coming out of my mouth.
Sometimes just shut up.
I couldn't shut up.
Okay.
It was awful.
Was there anything else?
Yes.
What else?
And then I had to give out the phone number for the audience to text a keyword to win autographed drumsticks, and I couldn't remember the station phone number, so I gave out the wrong phone number. And then I had to apologize and explain that I had been up since 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my. You did that on stage?
I told you. It was terrible.
You didn't tell me these parts of it. You only told me part of it.
And then I walked off, and it was like I had dreamt the whole thing. And one of the other DJs that's a good friend of mine, the minute we walked off, she just hugged me.
Oh.
And she was like, "It's going to be okay." So I just walked off stage in a daze, and I went back to my seat.
Oh.
The big boss gives me a hug, and he's like, "You know, we're really proud that you work for us."
You didn't tell me all of that. You told me he hugged you.
I told you it was terrible,
which I thought was epic,
Raven.
But oh my gosh.
I mean, it was terrible.
I can't wait to announce a show there because they're going to carry me out on the shoulders like Rudy if I just don't fall off the stage. Or as a matter of fact, if I fall off the stage, they might like me even more.
I had a drink. I stood there for 5 minutes, watched the band, and then I said, "I have to get out of here." And I went in my car and I sobbed. I cried so hard.
Now,
I don't know what happened
to me. It wasn't
worth
it for you to do that.
Oh,
all right.
But you know what? Make me feel better. Did you ever embarrass yourself in public? Like, really embarrass yourself? What happened? 1-800-330-9999. Have you ever embarrassed yourself so badly in public that you had to go sit in your car and cry? I almost threw up. You know, that's how bad I felt after what happened. I couldn't even believe it.
I'm just saying again that you need to forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. It's over.
I have a rule. When something like this happens, 7 days I can be upset. But after 7 days, I have to let it go. And this is day 11, which is what, 10 or 11, which is why I can talk about it. I'm letting it go. I stood on stage in front of 9,000 people at a concert, and I butchered it. I was supposed to bring the band out. I said the wrong station name. I gave the wrong phone number to win an autographed drumsticks. I was supposed to thank the nurses there. I couldn't remember the hospital name. I was a mess, and it was obvious to everybody there.
And the announcement took over 3 minutes.
And
that's a big no-no.
I have the people in charge of the band on side screaming at me to get off the stage because they have a hard set time to start to get on stage.
Ah, that's normal.
Help me feel better. When did you embarrass yourself so badly in public? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, Colleen.
Oh, my God. I was in the McDonald's drive-thru line, and I got a flat tire. Like, realized it as they're handing me my McFlurry.
Oh, my gosh. Were you able to pull out of the line, or did you have to just sit in the line and, you know, eat your burger while you waited for AAA to show up?
Oh, yeah, what? I just had to sit there. I didn't want to, like, damage the hubcap or anything, and I'm like, I don't know enough about that stuff, but I was just like, oh, my God, because it was really flat.
People drive miles. I would be freaking out if I was behind you. Freaking out. You are going to roll this thing 15 feet out of the way. Oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine.
It's been so hot.
Like, how do you get out of that line? If you're behind that person, you have to be like, listen, I'll help you lift your car over this curb.
There is no reason for it to stay there. I'm pushing it. Pushing it. Let's go.
I'm like handing people their fish fillets.
This is going to be fantastic. You were there at the show? Hello?
I was there with you.
It was terrible,
yes,
right?
You can be honest. No, it was not terrible. The girl I was with didn't realize who you were. And I said, I listen to them every morning. I love her.
See?
And I said, that poor girl's been up since like 3 a.m.
You know what? And here's the thing. First off, a phone number on stage is a joke. Nobody hears the phone number correctly. Nobody remembers
it. That's not true. We had 1,200 entries after we got it right.
Those people were faking.
You did, but listen, did you hear when Jewel forgot the words to her own song?
See? So it could have been worse. Jewel won, like, awards and stuff for those songs.
I've never won an award for anything.
Exactly. Listen, you won an award. I was tired, and I was only up from 8 a.m.
Right, yeah. See?
But you were just so human. It was so, it's just genuine, and you're a human being, and it just goes to show no matter who you are, even Jewel Train, you can forget your words in front of all those people, and you did great.
Did Jewel also try and make up words, though? when she didn't know the words, yes! Did she just kind of mumble off, or did she try and make things up? Because Anna made up like 8 hospitals,
I
heard.
She made up a song.
Oh, okay.
She made up the words as she went along, and she just hummed and made it all up about Jim being here.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. You should have done the same thing.
No, it was very enjoyable.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.